Today I'll be preaching from verse 15, but as my custom, I want you to hear these words in their context. With that in mind, I'll begin reading in verse 7 and read through verse 17. This is God's word. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Have you ever stopped to wonder at the mystery of music and singing? Why is it that we sing? I don't know about you, but my house is not like a Broadway musical. I'm there in the kitchen doing dishes, and all of a sudden I start to sing. I think Dave does that sometimes, but no, that's not my normal way of doing things. But music is still part of our lives, isn't it? There's something that moves us when we sing. There's something that wells up within inside of us. You may be like me and you catch a certain tune and you can hum along with it, knowing exactly the phrasing and the words that are going on there. And may even evoke within you certain memories of things in your past. Music has that power in it. And there's something about that in our worship service as well. Singing is part of our worship service. And it raises an interesting question. Just why do we sing in general? More directly, and what I want to concentrate today on is why do we sing in worship? Today, in verse 15 of Hebrews 13, it speaks of that. It speaks of offering up our sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. And given the context that the Bible has of this type of phrasing, the sacrifice of praise, we understand this to be an aspect of singing and the worship of God. The context also reveals a very profound reason for singing. And that's what I want you to really consider today. And more than consider, I want you to think on what God has done for you. And out of that reason, to sing for joy. And that profound reason that is given is that we sing because God redeemed us in Jesus Christ. We sing because God has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. These verses call attention to several aspects of that. Let me start with singing because you are united to Christ in redemption. Singing because you are united to Christ in redemption. Verse 15 starts with with a really wonderful doctrine itself, the idea that we are united to Christ. It says, therefore, by Him, let us offer this sacrifice of praise. I'm keying in on that phrase, by Him. And in a sense, this has been the whole thrust of this letter that was written to the Hebrew Christians. It's the idea that in Jesus Christ, we really have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. There are many ways that this comes out. Jesus is described as the Messiah that the Old Testament prophets promised. He's the one who is greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than Aaron and Levi. He's the one who comes to fulfill the types and shadows of the Old Testament practices of sacrifice and tabernacle and temple. As he comes and offers himself, he is the one who actually accomplishes redemption. This comes out in chapter 8, where the author says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. That's what Hebrews is about. We have Christ. We have this great high priest, this redeemer who has accomplished redemption on the cross and has passed through the heavens and is now in the very presence of God Most High interceding on our behalf. And our worship is caught up in Jesus Christ. In Him and by Him, we worship the Lord, our Redeemer. Now, this has a very important reason for being stated, and it comes out in the immediate context of chapter 13. Remember again that this is a letter written to Hebrew Christians who were under pressure to turn away from Christ. They were under pressure to revert back into the Old Testament system of worship. We have found that in doing so, that they reverted back to a time of denying that there was a Messiah that had come. It was a denial of the work of Jesus Christ. And so in the immediate context, what I read earlier, it says that in Christ, we have an altar and a sacrifice to eat that surpasses that of the Old Testament. This comes from the comparison of the Day of Atonement that we looked at last week. There's a comparison between what happened in the Old Testament and the reality that we have in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, there was a sacrifice. A goat that was brought, and the sins of the people were laid on that goat, and then it was slaughtered and burned outside the camp. And the normal practice for sacrifices was that the priests and the Levites would have a portion of the sacrifice that was to sustain them. They would eat of that sacrifice. But on this great, important day of the year in the Jewish system, they were not allowed to eat of this sacrifice. It was burned completely, and its blood was then brought in and was sprinkled in the holy place and the most holy place. It was all a picture of the redemption that was anticipated in Jesus Christ. And the comparison is made that we have something better. We, as living on this side of Jesus Christ, have something better than all of that Old Testament system. We have an altar. We have a sacrifice to eat from. Not a physical altar and not a physical sacrifice, but a spiritual sacrifice and a spiritual nourishment as we are united to Jesus Christ. So that's why verse 15 in this context goes on to say that not only do we have an altar and a sacrifice that we eat from, but we also have a thank offering. By Him, we offer up this sacrifice of praise. By Him, and by Him alone, do we have redemption. And again, this just echoes all throughout the book of Hebrews. Think of chapter 10, verse 19, as just one example. Here it says, "Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." By Him we have redemption. By Him. So let me ask you, are you trusting in Jesus for your redemption? Are you conscious of the burden of sin that He has taken from you? Are you aware of how merciful God has been to you to wash you of all of your guilt and shame? If you're aware of that, then your heart should be moved to worship and especially to sing. To sing and to praise the God who has done this for you. Worship is this response that we have to a great and holy God for who He is and for what He has done. Not only that, but Hebrews 13 goes on then to give another reason to sing. Sing to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So the first point focused on what God has done to redeem you. And that's the foundation that our union with Christ in redemption motivates us to sing to Him. The second point really focuses now on that response that we give to Him. It is a sacrifice of praise to God, and it's an emphasis that takes us deeper into this relationship that God has with us. And it is a relationship. There's a sacrifice of praise that is offered. And I want to put it in the context of really the grand picture of all of Scripture that begins with creation, fall, and redemption in Jesus Christ. That grand picture starts with how God made Adam and Eve. He made mankind holy and righteous. It describes Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden walking and talking with God. It's a relationship in which Adam and Eve were able to glorify Him and enjoy Him. But very quickly, the Bible tells us that that relationship was completely destroyed because of rebellion. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, they and we lost fellowship with God. It was graphically portrayed to Adam and Eve as they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And even more graphically brought home because death entered into the world because of sin. And so Adam and Eve and all of us lost the ability to glorify God, to praise Him, to enjoy Him. And all of us, because of sin, are guilty of rebellion against God. We are deserving of His wrath and curse forever and ever. And that's what all of us have been. But God, in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Talk about good news. This goes back to that first point. What has God done to redeem you from your sins? What has He offered to you to escape that penalty for sin? What has He done to bring you back into fellowship? Well, the Son of God became man. He became the sin bearer for you. He took the penalty that you deserve and He paid for that fully on the cross. And because of that once for all sacrifice for sin, you are no longer under the penalty of death. As you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you can know and be assured that He has forgiven your sins. He has made you alive and He has restored you to be able to glorify Him, to be able to enjoy Him. And this is really supremely reflected in our worship. We've come here today for a reason that is directed towards God. We are here to respond to what the Lord has done. We are here to give glory to Him. He has do that just because of who He is, and that would be enough. But add to that what He has done. He has united you to Christ in your redemption. And because of that, we draw together to worship Him. We no longer have need for a sacrifice of atonement because that has been given. We no longer bring a lamb to be killed, do we? Because Christ has given that once for all. But there does remain a sacrifice. A sacrifice of response. A sacrifice of praise. Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 12, where he speaks of our offering up of ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice, a reasonable service of worship. Singing is part of that. In response to that once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we give glory to God and we say to the Lord, I'm your man. I'm your woman. I belong to you. You have redeemed me, and I want to thank you for that. From the depths of my heart, oh my soul, praise God for what you have done. So let me pause again and ask you a question. Are you thankful for your Savior? Are you thankful for God's love? Are you thankful that He has laid down His life for you? Then sing. Don't hold it back. Don't think, I'm not so good at singing. That's not what it's about. It's not about whether you're an opera star or not. It's about your response to God. If you're thankful for that, singing is a natural and fitting response to what God has done for you. So what does it mean that it is the fruit of our lips? This interesting phrase calls two things to mind. First, I want to remind you that worship and singing can never be merely external. A sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of your lips has in mind that we express our devotion to God, that we praise Him, that we give thanks to the God who has redeemed us. But it can't just be lip service. You know that phrase? Lip service is when you say one thing with your mouth, and then you turn around and you do something completely different. You say to your boss, you're the greatest guy I know. Thank you for giving me a job. And then you get with your buddies in the office and you complain about him. You've paid lip service to your boss. Worship cannot be mere lip service of saying one thing here in the public worship of God and then turning around and going out and behaving completely differently. All of our life is worship. Small w. Our adult Sunday school class got into this a little bit earlier. Talked to someone who was in that about the wonderful way in which all of life is worship. But there is also this wonderful, specific time in which God calls us together to worship Him. Big W. And this special time is a time that is devoted to heartfelt expressions of our love and devotion to the Lord. In Isaiah 29, God condemns those who draw near to Him just with their mouths and their lips. They honor Him with their mouths and their lips, but they are removed in their hearts from God. That's what the Lord condemned them for, and it was shown in the way they acted. Instead, as Jesus speaks of in the New Testament, our worship is acceptable when it comes from the Spirit and truth. This is the worship that God is looking for. It cannot be merely external. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad there's an external presence. But worship must engage your mind and your heart. And it's expressed in a dramatic way in your singing. Practically speaking, we do sing words that express truths. We sing about God's promise and deliverance. And singing is more than just our minds, isn't it? God does stir up our hearts and our emotions. And God's mercy and His truth and His grace should move you. His holiness and His great power should affect your hearts. And in this way, worship in general and singing in particular is a very appropriate response to God and to what He has done. So respond from the heart to give thanks and praise to God. So I'll pause and ask a question again. Do you know those promises of God? And are you affected by them? Knowing and believing, head and heart, have to go together. Don't separate those two things. And it can be very easy to do this, to know certain truths, but to not be moved by them. Remember that even the demons in hell acknowledge that Jesus is God, but they hate Him for it. Out of devotion, let heartfelt worship be expressed as you sing. The second aspect of the fruit of our lips points to the profound simplicity of New Testament worship. It points to the profound simplicity of New Testament worship. Just in case you hadn't noticed, when we sing our praise to God, we do so making music just with our voices and without any accompaniment of musical instruments. You might conclude that maybe they don't have any musicians. Well, but we do. We have some really fine musicians throughout the congregation. You might conclude that we don't like music. But we do. In fact, across the congregation, you'll find a really broad spectrum of music that's enjoyed. You might shrug your shoulders and say, oh, it's kind of strange, but There's something curiously appealing to it. I've heard that a cappella music was on the rise again. I watched it on TV. Maybe they've just decided to go in that direction. Well, no, our choice to sing this way doesn't come from an aesthetic decision, like it would be, we would be hip to sing a cappella. Our singing rises out of that profound truth I made earlier. The completed work of Jesus. The completed work of Jesus. Here I want you to think of the context of the book of Hebrews and then the more narrow context of Hebrews chapter 13. And remember the argument that's being made. Jesus has come. The sacrifice for sin has been made once for all, never to be repeated again. And with that sacrifice, with what he has accomplished, he has fulfilled the types and shadows that were there for a really good purpose. That good purpose was that in the Old Testament, the saints there did not see Jesus in the full light of day like we do. And so God gave visual aids, as it were, to them. A lamb that could be seen and heard and touched. Incenses that could be smelled. Priests that could stand before them and represent the people of God before the Lord and the Lord to the people of God. Veils and curtains and all of these things that are associated with that Old Testament system, including the musical instruments. In the Old Testament, God had given those instruments to be used for a specific purpose. He commanded them. We sing of them in the Psalms. God commanded them to be used during the sacrifice. And the priests would perform the sacrifice. They would play the musical accompaniment that made up that part of the worship. They were mediating worship for the people of God. They were using the visual aids that the Lord had given to point them forward to Jesus Christ. But we, standing on the other side of Jesus Christ, we are better off than the believers in the Old Testament. We have the reality of Christ's redemption accomplished. And since that sacrifice has been made once for all, the sacrifices have ceased, as have all of the aids that served as types pointing forward to Jesus. And what remains is a beautiful and profoundly simple worship. By Him we worship. By Him we are taken behind the veil into the presence of God Most High. By Him we worship. The elements of worship remain the same. We come to the Holy God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and by that alone, we honor Him for who He is and what He has done. We speak to Him in our prayers and our praise. We confess our sins. We covenant to belong to Him. And He communicates to us through His Word that is read and preached. By Him we worship. And in Christ, we worship without the need of those things that were given to the church in its infancy. Those visual aids, as it were. Instead, we worship through Jesus Christ. Not through the mediation of priests, or lambs, or incense, or instruments. We worship. In fact, in Christ, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. You are, in Christ, a kingdom of priests. And your worship to Him is worship through Christ. You worship. I invite you to consider then how our theology, how these biblical beliefs shape our worship, especially in the area of our music. I invite you to consider how we are better off under this new covenant than the believers were in the old covenant system. But I pray that you would do more than just consider. Pray that you would joyfully offer up your sacrifice of praise to God by singing. By singing. There's that mysterious practice again that we have as human beings. There's that engagement of head and heart that takes place in the emotive aspect of music that God has given to us to express our devotion to Him. So if you are trusting in Christ, if you are thankful for the forgiveness of sins, if you know that your Redeemer lives and that He mediates for you, then sing. Sing. Let's pray. Lord God, we do offer up ourselves to You as a living sacrifice. We pray, O Lord, that in our worship that we would express in our heads and our hearts that You have redeemed us from our sins. O God, as we open up our mouths to sing, I pray that out of our hearts would pour the praise that is fitting to You. And so, O God, we pray that You would accept our worship through Jesus Christ, our one and only mediator. We pray that You would accept our worship as pleasing because He has cleansed us. The Lord, as we worship in reality, in the spiritual reality of the heavenly realms, may You be pleased to hear our voices as we lift them up to You by singing Your praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is a fitting response that we would sing. We'll do so with Psalm 96. Just notice the words that are used here. Our mind is engaged, right? Let your hearts be moved by these truths as well. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. All earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. He saves, each day proclaim. With thankful hearts, let's do this. Let's stand and sing our praise to God.